I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Jacob Preston, a software firmware engineer at Synapse and a former Apple firmware engineer. Jacob, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on to the show and joining me today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So Jacob, there was an article published in August, so this past, a couple months ago, in The Verge, which was titled, Apple Cares About Privacy Unless You Work at Apple. And as I mentioned in my introduction for you, you are a former Apple firmware engineer. And this piece dives pretty deeply into some personal privacy issues that Apple employees such as yourself, they're facing. It seems like, you know, from the article, you're very familiar with what's going on. So I want to just kind of hand it over to you so you can tell us more about your story and your experience with personal privacy issues at Apple.
I worked for Apple for a little bit over 3 years. I started there in April of 2018. And on the very first day, at least for most corporate employees, especially corporate engineers that need to do a lot of collaboration with working with team members on creating documents or documentation of whatever Apple flavor software it is, like Pages or Keynote or whatever it is, they encourage you to sign up for something called iCloud at Apple, which basically gives you an upgraded iCloud account for free, quote unquote, that gives you 2 terabytes of storage on your personal account. And one interesting thing about that is that they require you to use your personal Apple ID to sign up for this. So there's no employee or corporate managed Apple iCloud account that Apple uses to set that up with. And I remember trying, get onboarded, I get all my equipment. And then you go through just sort of these steps of getting all your software set up and all your devices provisioned to access internal Apple networks and things like that. And part of that process is setting up this iCloud at Apple account. And I remember reading the statement when I got to these steps about you must use your personal Apple ID to set this up. And I was like, well, that's a little bit weird. What happens if I just type in my Apple email to do this? And it explicitly says you cannot use your Apple account when you set this up, your corporate Apple account, just to clarify that. And I thought it was a little bit weird. And I remember I asked my manager about it, and he's like, yeah, we just use your personal account. It's fine. You know, don't worry about it. And I was like, well, okay, I guess if I have to, I'll do that. Because, you know, first day of work, I'm not really going to make a big stand or a big stink about something I don't necessarily agree with. I went ahead and did it and enjoyed the 2 terabyte plan that we certainly didn't need that much space, at least for the work that I was doing for work purposes. So I started using iCloud for personal things. I remember applying for a mortgage and having all my documents that I needed for that on iCloud because that seemed like a safe place to put it, as Apple is known for protecting their customers' privacy, or at least being one of the big tech companies that actively make statements to say that they care about it. So I started using it for personal things like that, plus things like tax documents and things like that. It didn't really strike me as too concerning until I began the offboarding process when I quit Apple 3 years later. And they give you this checklist of things to do. And one thing on the checklist is please return your devices and in bold letters, do not wipe them. That's where I finally put my foot down and said, I'm not going to do this when you've asked me to use my personal Apple ID for work-related things. I don't want that to be intertwined or mixed with anything. And I was trying to pry my supervisor who had changed. There was an extra level of management about halfway through my employment that was added. So my direct supervisor changed, and my previous, just to give context, my previous direct supervisor was now my skip level manager. So there was an extra layer that got added there as the team was growing. But I remember talking to my new direct manager about it and trying to get more context about why exactly does Apple need me to return my devices in an unwiped state when I've already given you all the relevant documents I have, all my code has been pushed to the repository. You have everything that I could possibly have of value already. Why do you need this device back? And he said, I don't know. It's just policy. This gets into speculation at this point, but that sort of leads me to believe that my devices don't actually go to my manager for reuse. It goes to somewhere else to sort of be combed through. At least this was my concern, to look through things and see if you had done anything malicious, at least in your last few weeks of Apple. So that was my major concern. And a lot of people have, I've written about this myself, and a lot of people commented on the Verge article about, well, for one, don't use your personal Apple ID. That was a dumb idea, or that was a mistake. And it's really hard when you're in the moment of starting your first job at a big tech company to again, like I said, make a stand against your manager. That was a really difficult position to be in, and I didn't want to make a stink, like I said. It's hard to do that in the moment. The second thing that I got a lot of feedback on was just disable iCloud and you'll be fine. That should remove the sync of all the personal files off your device. Having used Apple products for a while, or any tech product, it's not just Apple that does this, especially if you've used them for years and gone through several software updates, they don't always do what they say that they'll do. And there's oftentimes, if you do something like desync iCloud or turn it off or disable it, there's probably some lingering file that sort of escaped, if you will. To me, there's a risk of that. So I was like, the safest thing for me is just to wipe this hard drive and then give my laptop back. But that created a big stink with my management. And they pushed really hard to try to get me not to do that. I think that explains the situation from my perspective. Did you have any follow-ups?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for taking us through that. That was really helpful to hear firsthand from you. And
yeah,
definitely follow-up questions. Lots of follow-up questions. So I can't, and I haven't worked at Apple, and I probably have no prospects of working at Apple, but I don't for the life of me understand why they cannot give corporate iCloud accounts. Did you sign something that said you would use a personal iCloud? Like, did they have you sign something when you like started? Because I also read in the article how it said that they tell employees they should have no expectation of privacy when using your own personal device for Apple Business. So if you have, like, you know, mail on your phone or what have you. So I don't understand how that's allowed too, that not everyone, what if you had an Android? I mean, I guess you're working at Apple, but you know, like.
Yeah. So at least side note in regards to the Android stuff, there are employees that do use Android devices as their personal device, because there are people that are super strict about, I have my work devices and I have my personal devices. So that does happen. You will see people, it's rare, admittedly, but you do see people walking around an Apple campus with an Android phone. And I guess part of that could be the personal versus work device separation. And it might just be checking out how an Android device works. Maybe there's some stuff that Apple could take as an idea. I'm not sure if that's the reason, but I'm sure that someone is doing that. But in regards to the request to use your personal Apple ID, like I had mentioned before, you cannot use your at Apple corporate email account to sign up for any Apple services that would be customer facing. You just can't.
And iCloud falls into that?
Yeah, if you try to, you'll get a warning message or an error saying you cannot use this email address to create an iCloud account. So they just force you out of it. You can't do that. From what I've heard from other people is that it technically is a corporate managed account. Like, you're personal account sort of gets bumped up to a corporate managed iCloud account when you sign up for iCloud at Apple, but you have to use a personal account for it. So your two options there are to either use the one that you already have or create a new one that you have to manage separately. And then it comes down to, you effectively need to have two separate devices at that point too, because it's been sort of a...
Because you have to sign in.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have to sign in. And it's a terrible experience to try to have one device that's running iOS with two different iCloud accounts on it. It's pretty tedious to switch accounts on that. So in a way, you're sort of just... You're faced with that dilemma. Do I want two separate devices, or do I just deal with this for now? And keep in mind, they don't tell you that they're going to ask for your work devices back without being wiped first. So I wasn't aware of that at the time. You don't get the offboarding checklist at your onboarding time. It'd be kind of funny if you did, but they don't provide that to you. So that's sort of why I did it. Another reason why I did it, at least, was because I didn't know that would ever be asked of me. You know, I was surprised to find out that they did.
Yeah. And to your point earlier, it's one of those things where you don't know what you don't know, especially when you're starting out and it's your first job at a large company anywhere. But they're kind of, from what you've described, setting the precedent that bleeds the lines between personal and work. And I guess that's probably a larger kind of existential issue that we all have been facing. And it certainly is creating a precedent in my mind, and I'm no authority on that, but just as a listener to you, they're setting that up kind of, basically, is what it seems like. I don't know why. I don't know if there is some kind of ulterior motive or they want to look through what various, I mean, that would take a lot of time, but I guess perhaps they have the time. I don't know. It seems strange. And I think that unless you were someone who had that experience, had that bad experience coming from a different tech company or just a different company in general that has a similar policy, you wouldn't be so adamant to be like, well, no, I'm going to create a separate one and I want you to provide me a separate device or like whatever. You just wouldn't. You would be very trusting because you're... Yeah, like you said, everything about how you viewed Apple and privacy and all of that. So that seems, I mean, I understand people are always going to victim blame in the comments of articles, but I can't say that I would have thought any differently. I would have done the same thing as so many other people have.
It's more segmented now. I don't give Apple a blanket endorsement for everything now. I still think hardware is the absolute best. If you want the absolute best piece of hardware, buy an Apple device. I still think that. But where my opinion about them has drastically changed is in the privacy aspect of things. Being an employee, you sort of understand that they have various tools to look at what you're doing. My opinion has been tainted a little bit in that regard, but also just their whole mantra of, you know, we care about the environment, we care about the world. And then, I mean, this is sort of goes down a different path of what we were originally supposed to talk about, but the whole right to repair thing that creates a bunch of e-waste because of their stance makes you realize that there is a lot of hypocrisy in what they're trying to get their customers to believe. And this is part of that for sure.
Yeah, that's interesting. I guess I'd like to hear more on that quickly, actually, just as far as like e-waste goes. That's not something I've spoken to a lot of people about, but I personally, I'm very curious.
I guess to summarize it, when you buy a device like an iPhone, it's very difficult for someone to repair. If something on it breaks, the way that they're designing them is that you have to go to an authorized retailer to get the device replaced. And something even like the MacBook Air, it's a very thin device. Everything is pretty much integrated on the motherboard, so you can't swap out the CPU or the RAM without having extensive soldering experience with these components. And even then, if you could, it probably won't work because more and more things are starting to be provisioned to the device that they're initially installed in. And the device would say, hey, I don't recognize this thing, even though it could be perfectly fine. Functionality wise, it sees that it's been changed, and Apple will say, under the guise of protecting the user experience, we won't allow unauthorized repairs of our devices because we don't want you to have a bad experience. Well, in some ways, that's kind of crap because there's no reason that things like the home button on a phone should have that sort of experience or would change the experience if it's a different one from a different device. So there's decisions that they're making. In some ways it makes sense. Like the touchscreen does have some calibration along with it, where if that changes, it could effectively change the experience of using your device, but you could get away with saving some money and having a less ideal touch experience, but probably honestly unnoticeable by having a third party change your touchscreen out for you. Is that kind of make sense in that regard?
Yes, that makes sense to me in that regard. I don't know if you have more to say. I don't want to cut you off. And
where I'm going with that is it leads to e-waste because people think that it's an incredibly complicated device, and if my touchscreen breaks, I might as well just replace the whole phone then, because it's Apple authorized retailers or repair shops will charge. I remember my dad had to repair the screen on his Apple Watch, and it was something close to $300. And I'm like, you know, it's not much more to just buy the new Apple Watch. So why repair it? Because he's forced into the only option he had was to go through an authorized retailer that's going to cost a bunch of money. So it ends up as e-waste when it's a perfectly fine device other than the broken screen on it. But he has to replace the whole thing now, and it ends up as e-waste, which is sort of where that builds up. And then the other thing that they do that I've heard of, I don't know if you follow, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but Linus Tech Tips is a tech channel in Canada, or based out of Vancouver. They had a great video about one of the people that recycles Apple devices couldn't really keep up with the demand, so a lot of them just end up in a landfill. Perfectly good functioning devices, they just might have some aesthetic problems with them. They end up not recycling them because there's so many coming in, and they just end up in a landfill anyway. So even though you might be thinking when you trade in your Apple device that they're going to put it to good use, and then all these new devices are built with recycled materials of, you can assume, previous Apple devices. Well, that's only if they can keep up with the supply of those devices coming in as well. But a large chunk of them are ending up in landfills.
Interesting. I always wondered that because I have like the drawer of old devices. I don't know what to do with. I guess at Lowe's you can recycle certain types of like phone batteries or what have you. But still, there's still some leftover questionable items that I have that it can be very challenging to find the right places to recycle things like that. And then, yeah, to your point, if the influx of them is so great, they can't keep up and then they end up in a landfill anyway. So that's problematic. So does Apple have its own, I guess I never looked into this. Does Apple have its own recycling program where you can like return it to them or like at a store or mail it in or anything like that?
Yeah, that's typically when I get a new device. At least when I was an employee, I would return my old one to them because they used to be pretty up in your face on their website about this is the price if you trade in an old device because it makes it look like a nicer cost. So they definitely have it. I don't think they run it themselves, though. I think it's mostly a third party that takes care of it. And then the other thing is if you ever buy a refurbished Apple device, they are immaculate. They're in perfect shape. They look brand new. Yeah. I mean, you save money that way. And I don't blame anyone that does that. And it's a good use of getting a used product. And Apple does a really good job of refurbishing. But they're effectively a brand new device. So devices that, like I say, may have 100% functionality, but they're scratched or just aesthetically don't look very good, they're probably not going to go back for resale through Apple Store. But then what happens to them? Well, a lot of them end up in landfills. So,
okay. Well, thank you for entertaining me and taking me down that path. I was just so curious. To get back to the privacy issue. So is this invasion of personal privacy, I guess, to be fair, is it restricted to Apple or is this a larger issue with tech companies overall? You know, do those same types of things apply? Obviously, the iCloud is distinctual since that's Apple's IP, what have you. But like other companies, is it such that if you're on the premise using your own personal device for work, they can search through it should they want to, what have you, similar types of stipulations like that?
So I have a broad, I think, range of experiences here. I've had internships at government laboratories. So I had an internship at Sandia National Labs, and you have to go through security checkpoints, and I didn't have a security clearance or anything, so I couldn't go to those areas. But if you crossed a certain threshold, anything on you was liable to search just because it's a government facility. It's just part of the agreement of being able to work there. Especially when you're dealing with government secrets. I wasn't as an intern, obviously, but potentially I could plug in a USB drive and hack into their network or something. So part of it was you were completely banned on bringing certain personal devices, but any devices you did bring were liable to that level of search. So that's sort of the extreme level of the spectrum, which is honestly what Apple also does. If you bring personal devices on, they say it's liable to search. But on the other end of the spectrum, I've worked for places like Meter Group in Pullman, Washington, that really didn't care. And they'd never asked for being able to either install software on my personal devices in order to use them for work. They didn't care about that. They provided me a corporate email account that I could use for work. There was no expectation that I would need to use any personal things. They provided like a corporate Google Drive account. So there was no expectation there. That's the other the end of the spectrum. And then Synapse, where I work now, is kind of in the middle, where they install or had me install the Microsoft suite of tools on my iPhone so that I could use it for work. But it's limited to those apps. Anything else that's on my phone is mine. But those apps are the only thing that they could have like a backend access to. It's a spectrum, and it sort of just depends on the company you work for, I guess. But the interesting thing about Synapse, and I didn't know this until I onboarded there, was they also support corporate managed iCloud accounts. So I didn't even know that that was a thing. I just assumed it wasn't because, yeah, they do exist, but Apple themselves don't use it that way. So it was interesting to find that out.
You turned in your laptop. Did you end up wiping it anyway? Did they say what would happen to you if you wiped it? Would they, I don't know, take up legal action against you or anything?
They didn't say anything like that. So I didn't feel threatened or anything. They didn't threaten me in any way. And I did wipe my laptop and I returned it and I haven't heard anything since.
Yeah, because my next question was, if you didn't wipe it, do you get some kind of like confirmation after you've left that your personal information is wiped from the machine once they've, you know, looked through whatever they need to look through? But you did what I would have chosen to do too, which was, well, I'm gonna wipe it anyway. But I don't know if you know of anyone else who hasn't wiped their machine that you worked with, and if they get any kind of confirmation that their personal info on there isn't jeopardized, because that's strange. Where is it going? And it's just sitting in a room somewhere that anyone could look at, especially mortgage information and things like that, that people are, you know, you're doing those things during business hours because that's when the bank's open and you're not thinking. And if you have the storage, you're going to put things in that's everybody does that. I understand it's not the best practice. We shouldn't be doing it, but you get busy and you're trying to get things done and you have deadlines, and that's what happens. So I didn't know if you had heard of anyone who did turn their device in.
I haven't heard what the experience is if you turn it in as they request and if they give you any confirmation or what, or if it, like, the other thing is that if you have more than one Apple device, you can see a list of them on your iCloud account and do Find My and stuff like that. So your corporate devices would show up there as well, but I remove them before giving them back. So I don't know if they would take care of that on the back end somehow. But the other people that I have talked to have done what I have done, and they return their devices wiped because they're like, no, I'm not doing that and I'm quitting. So what are you going to do? Fire me? Doesn't matter at this point. I guess the risk there is that I'll probably never be hired at Apple again. But honestly, I don't want to unless there's significant change. I had another thought. To go back to the reason why Apple does this, that they'll tell you, is it's dog fooding. They want you to live the Apple experience because you're developing the Apple experience. And if you find the best way to catch bugs or anything is to be the earliest adopter possible, which is, you know, being on the cutting edge and using those devices daily. So for everything you want to use them for. And they encourage that. Where it gets tricky is I don't know how some people handle it without multiple devices, because they want you to use it for things like recreation. You know, use this device to watch Netflix and YouTube videos and stuff. But what if you want to share it with, you know, your spouse or something and watch a movie with them? I don't know. The guidelines there are a little sketchy because they don't want you to share with a spouse or anyone that you live with a pre-release either device or piece of software. So that, again, it just sort of makes it difficult to do, even though they encourage you to use it for all your own personal stuff. A lot of these things are shared with family, especially things like iPads or Apple TVs, for example. I don't know. It's just another curious thing about working there.
Yeah, that is interesting. So they basically have their employees test out new operating systems or features or things like that, is what you're saying, but you're not supposed to expose any non-Apple people to it.
Another anecdote I have, I did work on the new Apple Pencil, the one that snaps to the side of the iPad and charges wirelessly. I was part of the firmware team for that charging mechanism, and I remember on launch day or announce day, I took that device home and ordered with my fiance DoorDash using that device, and it had been announced, and it was good from what I understood to bring it out into the public. You just couldn't like demo anything to people, and I didn't. But I had learned at the time during development on this that you could do this cool trick with the pencil and spin it around one of the magnets, and it'd be kind of like a propeller. And it was just kind of a fun little fidgety thing to do with this new iPad. I had developed that habit, and I did that in front of my girlfriend just out of habit. We had gone on a hike with a coworker, and she had mentioned something about that. And then the next day at work, he pulled me aside and he's like, "Did you demo that iPad to her?" And I was like, "No, we ordered DoorDash on it, but I didn't show her anything. Like, she may have looked at the DoorDash menu. That's all she did." And he's like, "But you didn't show her any features, right?" I'm like, "No, I didn't think it would be that big of a deal anyway, because it's been announced." He's like, "Yeah, but it's not technically out yet." And I was like, "Oh, they're very strict, I guess, about what you can and can't do."
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I get that, because they've had factory workers expose new models and things like that. You know, we've all read about those things. So I understand that, but it is an interesting gray area.
This particular employee, I think, to be fair to him, he was also a relatively new employee at the time. I think he was just trying to do the right thing. So I don't think he was like, "Oh, I got him." And he didn't report me, at least not that I know of. I never got investigated for it. And I also myself followed up with Apple's global security team to make sure I knew the rules, because I, at the time, didn't want to get fired. So I followed up with them. And it's just a gray area between the time of announcement and release, when all of a sudden employees come out of the woodworks and they all have like the product that was just announced. But it's a gray area on what you're allowed to do there. And that's sort of the consensus that I got. It's like, yeah, just don't be super explicit about it. You can use it in public, but like, don't show anyone something that they can't use yet.
That's doing a great job as a company, I suppose. And perhaps I just have my own personal opinions about that type of situation. I don't run a company, but it's interesting. I can't say that they're doing a bad job in that regard. I would probably have a hard time. But that's just me personally. And interesting. Okay, well, this has been really fascinating. And I just have one quick other question that is really not related to privacy, but I'm just thinking about my iPhone, which is old. I have an iPhone 7, because I really don't need anything newer than that at this time, unless I drop this and it breaks. If you work there, do they give you the latest greatest, or do you have to go out and buy that? Like, for a personal device, like a phone or whatever, you know, like, is that on you to try to keep up with their latest tech apart from your, you know, designated device that you use?
It sort of depends on your role and the department that you work in. So I started in hardware engineering, and my subdivision got absorbed by Hardware Technologies later, but they had the same policies. And when I first started there, they would buy you one iPhone for free and it was yours. You got to keep it, but you only got it once. Unless you wanted to use that iPhone for your entire employment, you would eventually have to buy a new one. But they switched that policy to every 2 years you would get a device, but it was Apple owned. So once you quit, you'd have to return it. So they changed the policy, but you had the advantage of getting a new one at least every other year. The other thing is, when I worked on the Apple Pencil charger, I did have a prototype, or well, not necessarily a prototype, but a pre-production unit, pre-mass production. It was exactly the same as a normal mass production unit. It was just built before that time. But I got to use it as a personal device, just as a benefit of working on that project. So if you work on something that requires you to have the hardware, once it's announced and released, and if the version that you have has been approved for public use, you can then keep it and use it. It is Apple owned, but you can keep and use it as if it were your own. So that's another way to get Apple devices as well. Usually project managers have the whole suite of devices, because they're involved in several different things. So advice to someone looking for a job to get all the Apple devices: go be a project manager. It sort of depends on your role. The other thing that you can do is you get a 25% discount as an employee if you do want to buy the device, but you're still paying your own money for it.
Yeah, well, that's substantial. That's not bad.
I guess to summarize, it depends on your role and what you do in the department you work in.
I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me, Jacob. I think our audience will really enjoy this episode. And I appreciate your honesty and even saying, I still like Apple for these reasons, but here's why I question certain practices or, things that they're touting. So I think that that's very fair assessment, and I commend you on being able to speak up about your experience, because I do think it's part of a larger issue, and I think any awareness is helpful in us kind of remedying this. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about it.
I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Jacob Preston, a software and firmware engineer at Synapse and a former Apple firmware engineer. For more episodes like this, you can listen to all of our podcasts at cybercrime.radio.